Douglas. I am not the regular preacher. I tried to fake a lost voice, but it didn't work. John Tom said he was sick too. But anyway, we're going to give it a shot this morning. I have one announcement I need to make in regards to information for you. As far as the evangelistic efforts of this congregation goes, this year we have determined, and John Tom announced this last week, Bill Robinson, who goes to India every year, and we help with that work over there, we are helping him this year. We're also helping a young man by the name of David Osteen. David used to preach over at Memorial Stonegate. We're helping him for the entire year. And what we did a couple years ago when Adam was here, we expanded Russ's meeting schedule. He's had such great demand for his efforts and his time. We felt like that we could serve the people across this country by allowing Russ to go a few more times during the year than he normally does. And so he's going to be gone probably, I think he has 10 meetings this year. And that's going to give opportunity for you who want to speak, young men, to stand in this pulpit and deliver lessons to us. So we want you to be aware of those things and to be aware of what we're doing in the way of evangelism for this congregation. New Year's resolutions. Russ mentioned them a week or so ago about how we are all touched by them. We all make them in one way or the other. And I don't know how much TV you watch, but I don't know if you've noticed the advertisements Allstate has about this mayhem guy. You know, he's always doing something, he's tearing something up. And the idea is you'll be ready, you have the insurance to take care of all that kind of thing. Well, this year he's decided to have a resolution, he's going to be good. So we see him laying in the road as a road flare so that he can warn you of a upcoming hazard in the road. We see him standing on top of a home as a lightning rod. And we see him hanging from a string inside of a garage as a tennis ball to keep you from running into the end of your garage. And the idea is he's going to do things that are going to help you. He's not going to be mayhem anymore. That's his resolution for the year. But in every one of those commercials, in small print at the bottom of the page, it says, resolutions are made to be broken. And that's sad. And then that lasted 2 weeks, and he went back to mayhem again, because resolutions are made to be broken. We have resolved, as elders of this congregation for this year, that we're going to strengthen ourselves spiritually. And we have given us, you, methods and themes by which we can stay with that resolution. When a football team or a baseball team struggles or needs to improve, coaches go back to what we call the fundamentals: hitting and fielding, blocking and tackling. And when those fundamentals are mastered, then the team improves, the team grows. And such it is with spiritual life. When we get to want to be better in our spiritual walk with our Lord, to grow, then we need to get back to fundamentals. That's the reason the theme for 2018 is fundamental Christianity. And that's the reason the first quarter of 2018, we are engaged in an evaluation of this congregation, spiritual growth. And that's to help lay the foundation for what we want to attain. Our New Year's resolution, one that we won't give up on in 2 weeks. In Christ, we have redemption. But the blessings enjoyed in Christ include not only this redemption, but a renewal. The transformation of this old man to this new man. As the Apostle Paul calls it in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, a washing of regeneration. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, a walk in a newness of life. This renewal involves the concept of spiritual growth. Just as a healthy physical life requires one of growth, so it is with the spiritual life of the Christian. It's a process of growing. And sadly, not all Christians grow spiritually. Sadly, many of them just have been Christians for years and yet nothing has changed. Little has changed. They show up. They pretend. But there's no growth. Little improvement spiritually. And failing to grow, they become stagnant. And the main reason is because spiritual growth is a choice. It's not something that happens by default, as physical life is. We're going to grow unless there's something really, really wrong with our bodies. We're going to grow. But spiritual life has to be fed. Spiritual growth occurs only when we choose to grow. We choose to sustain ourselves with the food that the Lord has given us. And in 2018, we must make that choice and stick with it. Consider for a moment. Spiritual growth is a choice that's commanded by God. In Matthew chapter 28, it's implied there in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. Jesus commanded his apostles to make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things, whatever he had commanded them. Implied in that command is growth. Implied in that command to teach is that disciples would be obedient learners, constantly growing as they learn who the Lord is, as they obey him and do the things that he has told them that they must do. But also this command to grow is clearly stated in the apostolic epistles. As we read in our scripture reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, notice there it says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to look back in just a moment at that first verse, verse 14, where it says, be diligent to be found of him in peace. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not an option. That's a command. Peter began the second epistle describing how we are to grow. In the first chapter, he said, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, perseverance, and etc. and so forth. But notice verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren, and the marginal reading there says useless. You will neither be useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Adding to faith and virtue, knowledge, self-control. Abound in these things. Be fruitful. Clearly indicating growth. Christians who did not grow are chastised by the Hebrew writer. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not good solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. So, spiritual growth is not an option. It's not something that's reserved for just a select few of people. It applies to everyone sitting in this auditorium. God's word commands it. It's a command of God that we grow. But we also need to remember that spiritual growth is a choice that is not only commanded, but it is a choice that requires diligent effort on our part. Don't think that just because you grow old, you're growing spiritually. Spiritual growth requires concentrated, diligent effort. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 27, labor, work for that endures to everlasting life. Work, labor. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And in chapter 3, verse 13, he said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the call. toward the upward call, toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. It's a work. It's labor. It's a pressing on. As I mentioned earlier, we were going to talk about this diligence thing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, after he has listed all these things that we are to add to our faith, he says in verse 10, but even more, be diligent. Make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Be diligent. And in our scripture reading, in verse 14, he says, be diligent to be found of him. Diligent. What is diligence? It's hard work. It's concentration. It's effort. We've got to do something. It's tenacity. Spiritual growth's not easy. It's not something that just happens overnight. We have to work at it. We have to be patient with it. But we can take comfort. We can take comfort in knowing that spiritual growth is a choice that is assisted by God. We're not alone in this effort to grow spiritually. While we work out our salvation, God is at work in us. In that Philippian letter, in Philippians chapter 2, where he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In verse 12 and verse 13, he says, for it is God who works in you both to do, to will and to do for his good pleasure. God works in us. And in verse 6 of chapter 1 of that same epistle, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God desires to complete that work. But he's not going to do it by himself. We are strengthened by God in our efforts. Ephesians tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, he would grant you to be strengthened with might through the Spirit of the inner man. He will do everything for us and apply and give us everything so that we might be strengthened by him in our efforts, by his Spirit in our inner man. This inner man that he has taken and he has cleansed and made pure and made holy, that we might have a relationship with him. And he empowers us. He empowers us with unimaginable power that works in us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do every exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The God of creation, the God who controls the spinning of the planets and the sun and the moon and the stars and the seasons and everything that we see, works power in us. And he wants us to grow. He has provided for us the armor to stand strong in the power of his might, Ephesians chapter 6. So there are no excuses not to grow. Paul said, I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. With God as our aid, spiritual growth is possible. And not just some mediocre kind of growth, but spiritual growth beyond what limits we may think we have. And we need to remember that spiritual growth is a choice that is blessed by God. In the Ephesian letter, Ephesians chapter 1, we just finished this last quarter studying this section. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And he goes on to list all those things. He's chose us. He's predestined us to be holy and without blame. He has adopted us as sons. He has made us accepted. In him we have redemption, verse 7. The forgiveness of sins. He has revealed himself to us. He has made known the mystery of his will. He has given us hope. He has given us a guarantee, a Holy Spirit within us that's a guarantee that he will redeem us one day Romans chapter 8 talks about that in detail. We are blessed by God in this pursuit of spiritual growth, and as such, we grow in grace. We experience the blessings of God. We have peace with God. John 14, peace I leave with you, peace I give you. We have the peace that passes understanding. We rejoice in the hope, looking forward to the time when we're not here anymore. We don't have to deal with all the things we deal with in this life. And we grow. We grow as long as we pursue these things. As long as we make the choice to grow, God is going to bless us in that pursuit. And it's this spiritual growth that ensures this abundant life that Jesus promised in John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What kind of growth is taking place in our lives? Is it the deadly kind of growth that creates dull hearts? Is it the kind of growth that makes love that grows old? Is it the kind of growth that becomes weary in doing good? Galatians chapter 6. Is it the kind of growth that leads to moral corruption? Or is it a vibrant kind of growth in which we are abounding in love and peace and joy, being faithful and being fruitful in our service to our Lord? One kind of growth is due to neglect. The other kind of growth comes when we make the right choice. Spiritual growth is a choice. A choice that we must make. If we desire to experience the blessings of the right kind of growth, then we must not forget that that growth, that spiritual growth, is a choice. A choice that must be made by us. It's commanded by God. It requires diligence on our part. It's going to require perseverance on our part, which we're going to see in just a moment. But we need to be assured that God will assist us in that effort. Spiritual growth is oftentimes hindered by what we might call low self-esteem. Too many Christians sell themselves short. They don't view themselves capable of obtaining higher levels of growth spiritually. They have this negative attitude. Well, I can't do that. Mark mentioned it. Wednesday night, I believe it was Wednesday night. No, it wasn't this past Wednesday night. Like Sunday, about his father, about not being able to get up in front of people, about him having that fear. I've got that fear. But Mark does it. My dad was the same way. You don't know how scared I am right now. But when God tells us we got to do it, we got to do it. And we do it, don't we, Mark? They don't believe in their God-given capability. They are prone to making excuses for not trying and therefore not growing. Yet because God commands us to grow, we need to have a stronger faith that we can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what the Apostle Paul said. That same promise is to us today. But what would our goals be regarding spiritual growth? For what are we to strive? For what are we to make diligent effort towards? By what measurement can we determine that spiritual growth is taking place? As with any venture, having goals, attaining those goals, is essential to success. The athlete excels when he or she sets goals for themselves and then they work to get there. A person in business recognizes to be successful, there must be goals that he sets for himself and for his business and for his employees, and they work to get there. And so it is with us as Christians. We must have goals and we must have measurable ways of attaining them. First, there are what I would call behavioral goals. Jesus indicated such in talking about discipleship. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, he says, "A disciple is not above his teacher. Everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." That's our goal, to be like Jesus. Paul made it clear that this is the goal of redemption. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Transformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image of Christ. We are to try to be like our Savior. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Renewed in the knowledge of him who created him. In the image of him who created him. So, an essential element of spiritual growth is to become more like our Savior. Renewing our behavior, behavioral habits that we, the goals that we adopt for ourselves, to be like Him, to put Him up there and strive to be like Him. And we're going to see in just a moment, there are habits we have to develop, these behavioral habits that will help us get there. Leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And this involves growing in the knowledge of Christ, our scripture reading. And not just academic knowledge, but personal knowledge through character development, through this adding to our faith, virtue, knowledge, etc., so forth. And it's the development of these kind of graces that we are truly, when we become truly fruitful in the cause of Christ. And these graces, these things that Peter lists in 2 Peter chapter 1, are personified in our Savior. The more we grow in them, the more we truly know, the more we truly understand Jesus. But there's challenges. There's challenges to behavioral goals. When you set a goal so lofty as to be like the Savior, there's challenges. And I've mentioned one already, diligence. It requires a diligent effort. You know, add to your faith, diligently add to your faith. Be diligent in what you do. Be tenacious in what you're trying to achieve. Persevere, which we'll see shortly. It requires a sustained effort. Don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not, Galatians chapter 6. Sustained effort, constant effort, diligent effort. And this growth, again, as we've stressed before, does not come naturally. And if we're not careful, we may revert back to our former conduct and character. In fact, that's what the Apostle Peter talked about in 2 Peter chapter 2, when he talks about going back into the world. He said in verse 22, or verse 20, if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandments that was delivered to them. True spiritual growth demands a renewal of mind and character. Romans chapter 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A transformation in which the goal is to become like our teacher, Jesus the Savior. Behavioral goals that we have to set. Jesus is there. He's on the pedestal, and we strive to be like Him. And we're going to look at the habits that help us attain that in just a moment. But then there are functional goals. What are functional goals? A function is something we do. In the Corinthian letter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about the body as one and has many members. But all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So the foot say that I'm not the hand, am I useless? If the ear says I'm not the eye, am I useless? If we were just the eye, where would be the hearing? If we were just the hearing, where would be the smell, he says. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, he talks about all those members have different functions. For as we have many members, verse 4 of chapter 12 of Romans, we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Is there anything in there that you can't do? Or that I can't do? Functional goals. One body, many members, different functions, and every member must do his part. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And what happens when that occurs? It says it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The Lord's church grows only as each member does his or her part in the body of Christ. These functional goals we need to identify. What can I do? What do I aspire to do? There's nothing that the human mind can accomplish if we set our mind to it. And we need to make an assessment of ourselves, which we're going to do in the class, as Mark is teaching on Sunday morning on Bible class. We're going to assess that personally and congregationally. But there are functional goals that each of us have to set for ourselves. We must find and develop our unique function here. It may be laboring in the Word, preaching or teaching. It may be ministering, visiting, exhorting, checking on the sick, sending cards, fixing food. It may involve a multitude of things. But we have to utilize our gifts, our function. We have to utilize what we have been given, what we can do. We have to make sure that we do the things we're supposed to do. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter again says in verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's given you that ability. Use it, he says. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Those who serve with the strength that God gives him, he tells us there in verse 11. But there's challenges. There's challenges in reaching these functional goals. First, we have to determine. That's the first challenge. Determine our function. Determine what we can do. Determine what we aspire to do. Determine what we might want to do a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. Not all members have the same function. What's mine? What's yours? What can I do to help? Am I lacking in certain talents? Or do they need just to be developed? Am I truly a one-talent individual? Or am I using that as an excuse? Not really doing what I'm capable of. Do I have things that need to be developed? And there's this challenge of developing. Once we've identified what we can do or what we want to do, then we have to develop those talents. Some skills come naturally. Others take time. Others take energy. Is my lack of development the result of indifference? Is it the result of laziness? Am I selling myself short, but this negative talk? I can't do that. I can't wait on the table. I can't make a talk on Wednesday night. I can't lead a prayer. I can't. Well, singing, we're not going to go there because a lot of us can't lead singing. But I can't do. I can't. Negative talk. We can't do that. Am I allowing the allurements of this world to preoccupy my time and my energy? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We're going to face the Lord one day, and he's going to know whether or not we were honest with what we, our functions are. And then there's congregational goals. I won't go into these in any detail. This is going to be covered in that study that we're doing in Bible class. But individual growth is intertwined with church growth. It all works together. As the individual grow, the congregation grows. And it's the responsibility of the leaders of this group of people to provide ways by which you can function in what you have set your goal for. Ways that you can accomplish these functional goals that you have set for yourself. Providing encouragement through the Bible classes, providing gospel meetings that you can come, educational methods by which you can grow. Allowing you to stand up here, even though you may be green, even though you may be nervous, even though you may feel inadequate. The only way you're going to grow is get here. I'll never forget the first Bible class I taught. I was scared to death. Larry Dickens, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have made it. There's people here that'll help you. There's people here that'll help you get through those things, help you prepare. And I always worried. I said, you know, I'm not going to be prepared for X, Y, Z's question. I'm not astute enough in Bible knowledge yet to be able to do that. Don't worry about saying, I don't know. I'll find out. That's hard. It's hard to get in front of a group of people and somebody ask a question. You say, I don't know. But there's a lot we don't know. And there's challenge of reaching these congregational goals. And it depends heavily on the cooperation of all the members. If we're not united in the need for spiritual growth, it's unlikely that any congregational goals will be set. If we're not growing individually, any congregational goals are not going to be accomplished. We need to be growing as individuals. We need to be setting behavioral goals and functional goals. And we need to help get those going in the right direction. We need to have behavioral habits. A habit is something you do every day. I've heard one time before, if you do something 7 times in a row, it'll sink in your head and it'll become a habit with you. I don't know how you'd apply that to spiritual growth, but think about it. Constantly doing something over and over and over again. Assembly is the best thing I can think of that would help us in that regard. If you miss the assembly, you're missing the opportunity to develop a habit to be here. Developing a behavioral habit that would help you to grow, help you to identify your function, help you to functionally help this congregation do the things that it needs to do. But what are some behavioral habits that I might do? Well, the first and most obvious is Bible reading. We provide several methods by which you can get through the Bible in a year's time. 1 Peter chapter 2, the milk of the word that you desire, the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. David said in Psalms 19, and this is a song we sing, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And keeping them there is great reward. The Christian who wants to grow spiritually must therefore develop the habit of reading the Bible. By feeding upon God's Word, we receive the spiritual nourishment necessary to grow. Is that a habit that we can develop? A behavioral habit that each one of us can do? Prayer is another behavioral habit. It's required for spiritual growth. Just as we listen to God daily through His Word, we speak to Him daily in our prayers. Assembling is a behavioral habit. Being here when we are together, a means of stimulating one another to love and good works. A means by which we exhort one another, Hebrews chapter 10. Attending as often as possible. Christians who make a habit of skipping the assemblies struggle in their efforts to grow spiritually. No Christian has become stronger by neglecting the assembly. The formation and the exercise of these behavioral habits builds the foundation of a solid spiritual growth that leads to maturity in Christ. Bible study and prayer brings us closer to God, which can transform us, which can change us. Assembling together brings us closer to one another, provides opportunity to develop our functional goals, identifying our function. And then there's functional habits. Again, assembling. Participation. Find what you can do. Whether it be just encouraging somebody, glad to see you. Whether it be calling somebody who's not here and encouraging. Whether it be inviting someone to services, because not all of us have the contacts that you have. Whether it be greeting visitors, whether it be seating them, whether it be helping with the table or preparing the communion or cleaning the building or taking care of we do all these things. I'm preaching to the choir. But those things that you do, if you're not involved in any of this stuff, identify your functional goals and develop functional habits that will help you achieve those goals. Older teach to younger. Older women teach to young women how to care for their children, how to love their husbands. Older men teach to younger men how to be good husbands and good fathers and good teachers of the Word. But all this takes perseverance. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Perseverance, according to Thayer, is the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trial and suffering. We need to persevere because spiritual growth takes time. It takes time to grow. It takes time to learn the Word of God. It takes time to be equipped to give an answer for the faith that's within us. And that spiritual growth and the need to persevere requires repetition. Doing things over and over and over again. The more you teach, the more you get involved in Wednesday night lessons and giving short talks, the more you help with the table, you'll move up. You become more comfortable. You persevere. You fail in something. You back away and you say, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep going. Sadly, spiritual growth can regress. And that's what we have to be very, very careful of. We can regress by simply failing to grow. We can regress by going back into the world. We read earlier Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, talking about that by this time you ought to be teachers. In the verses that follow, the writer there is giving the peril of not progressing, not growing. And he says in verse 4 of chapter 6, For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Drove the nails in his hands and his feet, abused him, put the crown of thorns on his head. Regression. And like physical health, spiritual health requires persistent exercise, or we will regress into spiritual sickness. And how do we do all that? Well, we display self-control every day. Self-control. We're going to overcome daily. Perseverance is exercising self-control one day at a time. We need to associate ourselves with like-minded individuals. People who have the same focus that we've got, the same desires that we have. People who understand the need for perseverance, understand the need to have functional goals and functional habits and behavioral goals and behavioral habits. People who are involved in learning about what Jesus wants us to do. Again, that's the reason frequent assembly is important. But the main thing is, keep your eye on the prize. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, after Paul had mentioned all these things back earlier, cast down but not unconquered, he talked about hard pressed on every side, not crushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. He says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's light affliction to him, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. It's sad, but it's true that many Christians are often just religious enough to be miserable. But the life of the Christian is not intended to be misery. It's intended to be one filled with love and joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit that's listed in Galatians chapter 5. And where the fruit of the Spirit's not present, a lack of spiritual growth is the reason. In 2018, rather than being defeated by the things which hinder spiritual growth, make the choice to grow in the Lord. Believe that He's going to assist you in that effort. Set the proper goals, develop the proper habits that are going to help you reach them, and then remain positive in your outlook. Persevering, diligence, tenacity. Matthew chapter 11. The Lord said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hope that helps you in 2018. If you have a need to respond to the gospel call, please come as we stand and as we sing.